This is Action Podcast with Sam Forsberg and Gina Baxter.
Hi, Gina. So today we're going to have a little bit of a chat around the topic of asking for help.
It's a bit of a challenging one.
It
is a challenging one, I think, especially for women, Sam. So it's very, very good that we're talking about this today. I think it's going to be helpful for me and hopefully for a lot of our listeners as well.
Absolutely. Well, it's certainly something that I think the more I've become aware of it, the more I realise that it's not just limited to myself for a start, and it's maybe not just limited to women, but also to, it seems like all both genders, all age ranges, and that in fact it's something that we're finding increasingly, you know, harder and harder to do.
Yeah, I agree. I think it isn't a gender specific thing. I think there are lots of men and women out there, and I don't know whether it's necessarily a cultural thing, but certainly today it's almost considered a weakness to ask for help. People seem to be loath to ask for help, and they often get very suspicious when they're asked if they do want help, which is a bit sad, especially in the cities. You know, it's almost as if people assume that, you know, what's your agenda? What do you really want? You know, can you possibly be just offering to give freely? Ooh,
absolutely.
Scary stuff.
Yeah, it is. And I think that it's a shame, because when we actually ask for help, or when we accept help that someone offers, it actually allows them to give. It allows them to feel better about themselves, like they're helping, like they're making a difference. And when we aren't open to that, we're actually, you know, stopping people or preventing them from having that experience. And in fact, if we're running around trying to fix everything for everyone else, it's actually almost worse, because it's really preventing them from being able to make a difference and to feel equal and empowered in the relationship.
Absolutely. It's the most important thing, I think, to be able to give someone else the opportunity to give, because for most of us, most emotionally functioning adults, and for children as well, it really makes us happy.
Yeah.
I think for me personally, I realized through my life that in various jobs and different situations, that actually being able to be in a situation where I could give, actually I was able to receive simultaneously. It was just it's an amazing, amazing thing to give to someone else, especially when there's nothing underneath. It's giving for its own sake.
Yeah, so definitely. And I think that movements like things, you know, along the lines of random acts of kindness are examples of just how important that can be, and how much significance that can add to people's lives when, you know, people are willing to go out on a limb and do something for somebody without any expectation of receiving something in return, other than the fact that they can feel good in themselves for having done that.
Absolutely. It reminds me, actually, a few years ago, there was a thing in London where people were standing around outside tube stations in various parts of the city offering free hugs.
Ah.
And they didn't want anything, obviously, from it, but they just wanted to give people hugs. And the reaction was fantastic. There was the typical British stiff upper lip. Some people really embraced it. Others just ran a mile. And it's an extreme example of kind of giving and maybe, you know, making people feel a bit uncomfortable. But how wonderful, just giving for its own sake.
Absolutely. Well, I sort of started realizing I had a problem with the idea of asking for help when, I tended to always be an overachiever, and I've always thrown myself into the deep end with things like moving to foreign countries where I don't speak the native, you know, the language there, and all these sorts of mad things. And I've got a dear friend who used to always say to me, well, look, Sam, what can I do to help? What can I do to help? And I could never ever think of anything to tell him or to ask him for when he offered. And so at one point he got finally frustrated, and he's like, right, you know, when we finish the call, go away and have a think about the things that, you know, somebody could do to help you. And, you know, you'll have to rule out the ones that you really feel you need to do yourself, or that there's too much, you know, constraint on getting someone else involved, but just come up with a list of stuff and then email it to me. And I thought, oh, okay, this sounds
fantastic.
A bit difficult.
You're right on the spot. That's a challenge, isn't it?
Well, the funny thing was, even when I came up with a list, do you think I could ask him? It became such a joke between us that he actually invented a code word for it.
Oh.
And he's like, okay, Sam, look, you can't ask for help. We both know that. So we're not going to call it asking for help. We're going to call it motorbikes, because he knew I loved motorbikes.
Yeah.
So he's like, so right, next time you need assistance, send me a text and say, Wynn, I need a motorbike. And I'll go, Sam, what kind of motorbike do you want? and we'll sort of do it that way. And it's so funny, but it really was what I needed to start being more comfortable with the idea that I couldn't do everything by myself every moment of the day, and that sometimes I did actually need assistance.
Mm. That's lovely, because when you put it into practice like that, I think I've certainly found that myself, because again, you know, like you, I've really been back when coming forward asking for help. It's such a relief. It's incredible. I've noticed this, especially during my coaching trainings. I probably bit off more than I can chew. I had no idea that it was going to be such a heavy workload. Mm-hmm. And when I started to share my anxieties about it and the fact that I was having a bit of trouble and needed some help, it was like, wow, a total light bulb moment of, wow, nothing terrible has happened. My life mm-hmm. hasn't fallen apart. Only good things have happened. I've had people come in, you know, I've allowed them to see my vulnerability. Ooh. And I've had some help, and it's just been fantastic. Makes such a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that you mentioned earlier, which I think is really interesting, because I can certainly see it in myself, is that, you know, when we're faced with this almost sense of overwhelm and there's too much going on and we're sort of juggling too many balls or trying to spin too many plates, there's this sense that we can sometimes withdraw from the world around us. And I know the first thing that goes is that I withdraw from email and social media. But the second thing is this sort of hidden sense that we're actually not, you know, we haven't asked for help, we haven't opened ourselves, and we're actually removing options for people to come forward and offer help because we're withdrawing. So do you have some experiences around that?
Yeah, totally. I've had many experiences around that where I felt overwhelmed and haven't quite understood why I've withdrawn. And I think it's only lately, when I've been doing a lot of studying and working full time, that I've understood my safety valve, how I actually operate under and over, well, in an overwhelmed state. And the first thing I do, which is actually the thing that hurts me the most, is to cut off from people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel I don't have the energy, that they're going to take my energy, and I really do close down. It's quite interesting, and I've had to keep tabs on that and really force myself in a kind of gently forcing way to do exactly the opposite. And as soon as I reach that point, to pick up a phone and talk to someone about it instead of going into my little back cave and pretending, you know, I'm invisible, I don't need anyone, I don't need help. It's extraordinary.
It is.
Yeah.
And I can really relate to that too.
And it's kind of like a numbing. Sometimes I could be talking to somebody, a family member or someone close to me, and I actually don't feel anything. And then that is a sign that I've gone way too into overload and that I seriously need to ask for help. So I think one thing that I've been learning recently as well is to really listen to my body and watch my reactions.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it can go way over.
It can. And I had a learning experience through interaction with my family as well, because, you know, they're all on the other side of the world, you know, 12,000 miles away. And what I realized was that at one point, whenever I was speaking to one of my family members, they always ask the sort of standard, you know, how are you doing, what's new? And that I got to a point where if I wasn't good or things weren't good or I wasn't happy, I couldn't tell them that. And I'd always just be like, oh, yeah, I'm fine, or I'd try and gloss over it. And actually being comfortable and being able to say, well, you know what, I'm having problems with this at the moment, or such and such isn't so good, you know, that actually is quite liberating, because it then opens you up to being able to ask for help or at least to talk about it, like you said, which is sometimes all that we need. And that unless we can actually feel comfortable in saying, well, actually, no, everything is not fine, then we don't give ourselves that opportunity.
That's so true. I can so relate to that, Sam. especially with my parents. They're a bit, you know, they're in their 70s now, and I don't want to worry them. And so often I pretended, oh, everything's fine, it's okay, mm-hmm. you know, I can cope, even though I think mothers especially, you know, have got an intuitive psychic link with their kids. They know exactly when it's not fine.
Definitely.
she knew when to probe and when to not probe. And I thought, this is complete bullshit. Why am I pretending everything's fine and really sounding a bit aggressive and tense? It'd be much better to actually be honest and say to her, well, look, actually, it isn't fine. And I'm struggling at the moment, feeling a bit overwhelmed, and, you know, I need to find a solution or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
And actually be honest with them. And I think, you know, not to kind of make them feel they're weighed down and they, you know, they obviously want to help and sometimes they simply can't. They're just a sounding board in some ways. But I think it's so important to express what we're really feeling and really value and honour ourselves by doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually then honouring and valuing the people that we're being able to be honest with as well, because there is something about the conversation that then becomes much more real. And like you said, you don't want to worry people necessarily, but you can share the fact that you've got a problem or that something's upsetting you without it being like the end of the world, and without feeling like you have to drag them down into it. There's a way of just sharing it openly and in a real sort of light conversational way that allows you the space to air it.
That's exactly it. It's not kind of going down into the depths of hell with it. It's about sharing it in a compassionate way with them, so they don't feel that they have to, you know, get the light brigade in there and rescue us.
Yeah.
It is about being sensitive to the person that we're talking to. I think that's really, really important. But it's so lovely just to have honest communication, especially, you know, I don't know about you, but my family background, often things were left unsaid. They weren't always on the surface. They kind of simmer away, and they weren't that was just a family way of dealing with stuff. And that's not always particularly healthy.
Yeah, there's a lot of things around the sort of just soldiering on, or, you know, the feeling like, you know, you can be, do or have everything you want to, and that somehow we have to achieve that ourselves. But I think in the same way that, you know, being sensitive to the people that you're sharing stuff with, there's another whole topic around the idea of, well, if you're going to ask for help, how can you do it in a way that isn't going to make things so much harder for you, and that actually is going to result in the help that is going to be helpful and that you'd like, rather than something that's going to make, you know, things worse or not have it the way you want it to be without actually controlling it too. So that's another fascinating one.
That's so true. And, you know, the answer to that I think and has worked for me is when I've stopped assuming that people know what I'm thinking.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a big one. And I actually explain and really be very clear about what it is that I want.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, I've turned around and got really angry with people because I'm assuming that they know exactly what it is, which is it's nuts. I mean, how crazy is that?
I know. I think everybody can put their hand up, and myself included, and say I'm guilty of that. And that's certainly a topic that I can think we can pick up next time. But guess what? We're already out of time.
Oh, that was quick. So much to say in so little time.
Exactly. Well, thanks very much. It's been absolutely fantastic to share this podcast with you today, and I look forward to our next one.
It has. It's been great, Sam. Thank you for sharing your insights as well. It's been lovely. Thank you. Look forward to the next one.
All right, Gina. Take care.
Take care. Bye now.
Bye. So just to summarise for our listeners, when we're talking about the challenges around asking for help, first of all, it's important to realize or to notice, just to become aware of how challenged you are in that area. You know, do you feel comfortable? Do you find yourself going into overwhelm before you realize that you might need some help? And perhaps even just starting small. So ask for help in little ways, so that you can build up to asking for help in bigger issues and bigger sort of topics. Second of all is just to also remember that when we're open to receiving help and when we allow ourselves to ask for help, we're actually giving the person that we're asking or that we're accepting help from, we're giving them a great gift, because we're allowing them to give and we're empowering them because they feel like they're able to do something for us, and that's a wonderful gift to give them as well as to receive. Thirdly, we touched at the end there on, you know, not to assume that people can read your minds, and that sometimes it's necessary to really articulate very clearly when you want to ask for help. And that's something that I think we'll cover in another podcast in more detail as well. So enjoy.